called Dream Again, and really today is our final Sunday in this series, and I've really enjoyed teaching our way through these concepts and just trying to get us to imagine again, get us to daydream again. We've been talking about those aspirational kinds of dreams, those dreams, you know, that we see ourselves strong enough, and we see ourselves great enough, and we see ourselves rich enough. I mean, how many know when you're dreaming, you always see yourself skinnier than you are in real life, you know. You just see yourself having everything that you need. It's what we see in our dreams, and I really believe that we have the ability to dream spiritually where we have everything that we need to do what it is that God has called us to do. I'm wondering who dreams every night. How many? I need some hands. Show me. How many dream every night? I see lots of hands. You dream every night. I think I told you last week. I don't know what it is about Saturday night. I think there's just a kind of already Sunday morning energy and already an adrenaline that's flowing about the service. And so most of the time on Saturday night, it's just wild, crazy dreams. I kept waking up last night, and it was just crazy. I thought, man, if this would just stop, you know, I could really rest. I could really sleep. But every time I woke up, I was right in the middle of some just fast-paced, fast-moving dream, and my heart and my mind were racing. How many remember your dreams? Here's the deal. I know I was dreaming something that was fast-paced and quick-moving, but I couldn't tell you this morning what it was that I dreamed. I don't know. I couldn't put that together. My kids were talking this week about their dreams, and Jude said he's had a dream that's going, that's like a TV series, like a Netflix series. He just can't wait to get to sleep at night because he's going to pick up where he left off the night before. Just dreaming. Sometimes dreams are that vivid. Sometimes they are that real. Sometimes they happen to us. And I know we've got our kids in, and we've got our youth in, and maybe you dream and you see some of these things. What's the craziest dream you've ever dreamed? What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in a dream? So here's where we are. Let me just recap and give you our series scriptures that we've been reading the last few weeks. Proverbs 29:18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend, or when they give focus to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So where there is no vision, the King James says, people perish. When people can't see what God is doing, we have to have a vision. We have to have a dream for what God is doing in our lives. And then Acts 2 and verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So when we have these dreams, how do we know if it's the pizza that we ate the night before, or was it God trying to speak something to us? When I see myself strong and able and having everything that I need to accomplish purpose in my life, is that a God thing? Is that God trying to show something to me, or is it the pizza that I had, or the burrito that I had? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever had some dreams and you're like, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? I wanted to help you with that. Let me give you just a few boundaries or parameters, or just a few guidelines when it comes to dreams and you're wondering whether or not it was the pizza. Here's one of them. You can ask yourself, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? You know why? Because God will never violate his word. He will never violate his word. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, whatever it is you're imagining to do, whatever it is you see yourself doing, if you see yourself twerking on a stage somewhere, that's not God. God's not trying to make you famous or raise you up. That's not, because it doesn't line up with the Bible. Amen. I just provided a visual for way too many people. But you're awake now, so that's a good thing. Here's another guideline. Will it make me more like Christ? Whatever it is that I'm dreaming, will it make me more like, will it draw me closer to God? Will it contribute to His purpose for my life? Will it make me more like Christ? Here's another one. Do those in spiritual authority confirm it? We know that God blesses spiritual authority. God blesses when we are under authority, when you have someone in your life that can cover you and speak to you and speak over you. Do those in spiritual authority confirm it? And here's the last guideline, is whether or not my dream is pizza or if it's a God thing. Is it focused on me or is it focused on others? Is it focused on me or others? If it's focused on me, I probably need to go back to sleep and keep working that thing out, because the dreams that God wants to give us, the vision for our life that God wants to give us, is not about ego. It's not about personal attention. It's not about personal gain. That doesn't mean that your notoriety wouldn't rise. It wouldn't mean that God wouldn't raise you up in building His own kingdom. But it's not about my ego, and it's not about my personal ambition. What about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today? I can't preach about dreams and not talk to you about Dr. King today, who was a man with a dream. I know this dream certainly interrupted his sleep, but it was an aspirational kind of dream. It was a dream born out of necessity. It was a big dream. It is a God dream. It was a dream beyond Dr. King's own ability. You may have lived in that time. I was born after that, but you would remember in that time, if you're old enough. I mean, the climate, the circumstances, the challenges, all of this was beyond the ability of one man. All of this beyond the talent or the grace of one man, and yet he kept pushing and kept talking and kept preaching and kept marching. His dream didn't begin with marches or meetings with presidents, but rather his dream began as a personal thing. It began as a prayerful thing. It began as a planning thing and as a preparing thing. Here's the deal. Your dream is going to have to follow the same process, of prayer and planning and preparing. And it's interesting, because it's possible that Dr. King didn't think that his dream was ready for all to hear. It's possible that he didn't have the confidence in that moment to believe that everyone was ready to hear what was really in his heart. And on that day, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, August 28th, 1963, he was actually delivering another speech. It was a good speech. The speech was going well, but somewhere in the middle of another speech, Mahalia Jackson spoke up and said, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." And it was while he was in cadence on another speech that someone behind him, Miss Mahalia Jackson, said, "Tell them about the dream. You might as well tell, you might as well let the world know what is in your heart." And that is when Dr. King began to speak his most famous message: "I have a dream." You've heard it before. "I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. That's the dream. That's the dream that Dr. King was speaking. That's the dream that Dr. King was declaring. And we know that things begin to turn, and things begin to move, and things begin to happen, and people begin to march, and things begin to shake simply because someone dare speak of their dream. I also have a dream today. I'm not planning to march. I'm not planning to go to the steps of our courthouse. Oh, this is a dream that I need to speak on the steps of this stage today, because it is a dream for you and it is a dream for our church. Remember what the Lord told Habakkuk. We talked about this in the first or second session of this series. He said, write the vision. Write the vision down. Speak the vision. And then go and review the vision. Write the vision so that it is plain. Write down what it is that God has put into your heart. And then go back and review that. Remind the Lord that He is the one who gave you this vision. I firmly believe that there are people in this room that I am preaching before today that have had dreams that are now decades old. You've had things in your heart that you've had there since you were a child, and now you consider yourself an old man, a senior woman. You've carried these things for a long time, and you've never seen them come to pass, but you have to review that, and you have to go back and remind the Lord, this is what you put into my heart, and I don't plan on dying until I see this come to pass in my life. And because I have a dream, and because you have a dream, I want to declare some things over you and over our church today. And I want to tell you about that dream on this Family Fifth Sunday. First of all, I have a dream that you will be found. I have a dream that you will be found. Not lost and found necessarily. Not that you'll stop by a closet that we have somewhere where people who forget Bibles or people who forget jackets or people who forget umbrellas are stored, and you can come by and pick those things up. I'm always amazed. People never leave wallets behind. They never leave envelopes full of cash. They only lose stuff that seems to be insignificant. But today, I want to be found by Him, and I want to be found for Him. I'm going to say that again. I want to be found by Him, and I want to be found for Him. And it's really, really important today. There's nothing more important. Of everything that I'm going to preach about today, nothing is more important than what I'm going to talk about for the next minute or two. Because if you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to the Lord, if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you wandered into this room today, maybe at the invitation of someone else, or like many who circle on their Connect card that they were just driving by, if you're one of those people today and you're not sure if you are saved or not, if you don't really feel confident in your salvation today, there is nothing more important. Nothing matters more than you being saved, you being found by the Lord. Is there anybody that's ever been found by him that could just testify and say, yeah, I agree with that today? Nothing matters more than my life being found by God. Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Call it old-fashioned if you want, but I don't want you to wait until it's too late for you. I don't know when too late is. I don't know when that is for you, but I'm telling you, we've got a lot of blurred lines in the church today, and we've got a lot of absolutes that are being erased, and it just seems like there's a lot of ambiguity, that you can just kind of come and go from the place of the holy, and you can just kind of do whatever you want and live whatever you want, and as long as there's some good in the tip of your pinky finger, then everything is just wonderful between you and God. But I have to preach this book because, as far as I know, the book has not changed. The Bible said of the Lord, he said, I would rather you be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. You've got to make a decision. You got to pick a team and play hard. I hope you'll choose this day whom you will serve. And it is team church. It is the Lord's army. It is his house. I want to be saved. I'll be labeled the old-fashioned preacher in town. It's fine with me, but somebody's got to cry loud and spare not and say, hey, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and we have to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be found for him. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Not next week, not next month, not when mom gets to town. Today is the day of salvation. The day that the Lord says, hey, I'm knocking on your heart. Are you going to open up and let me in? Today ought to be the day that you surrender your heart to Jesus. Today ought to be the day that you throw your hand in the air and say, hey, count me. I want to be in that number. I want to be saved. Acts 17, they're telling Paul about this idol to the unknown God. And Paul says, you know what? You need to seek the Lord, verse 27, in hope that you might grope for him and find him. You need to seek the Lord, and sometimes there's a grappling, and sometimes there's a wrestling, because sometimes to find the Lord, you're having to push your way out of a lot of junk. You're having to press your way beyond a lot of stuff. You're having to climb your way out of a lot of holes and move a lot of baggage and debris and clutter out of the way. But he said, if you'll grope, you will find the Lord. Why? Because he is not far from each one of us. No matter how buried you seem today, no matter how overcome or overwhelmed it seems your life is, the promise is that he is not far from where you are. And he said that it's in him that we live, in him that we move, and in him that we have our being. I have a dream that you will be found. I'll tell you another dream I have today. I have a dream that includes your family. I have a dream that includes your family. It's Family Fifth Sunday, so everyone is here. I get the privilege of preaching to the whole family today, and I'm excited and blessed for it. But hear me, my dream is for your entire family to worship together. You may be able to look down your row right now and see all of your kids. You may be able to look down your row and see your crew, see your brood, see your quiver, all right there on seats beside you, and yet there are others that do not have that same privilege or that same luxury or seemingly that same blessing, because you've got one here or you've got one there, or maybe you've got one in college, or maybe the one had to work today. You just don't have everyone here where you can physically put your hands on them, or maybe you've got family that are not serving the Lord, or kids that have made another decision or another choice. So I realize that my dream is for you a reality. Maybe you're in the middle of a nightmare, but I want you to know today that God is available to all of us, young and old, that God is trying to do something in the entire family. The young seeing visions, the old dreaming dreams, both of them working in tandem, both of them working in partnership to produce something great for God. I wonder if you've noticed our dream teamers. That's those who serve our church kids. It's high school students who serve our church kids. They are heroes in this house. They are a blessing to this house. If you don't have kids that you check in, then maybe they go unnoticed. If you're never over here at Kids Central, then maybe you don't see them at work, or you don't see them happening. But they are incredible young men, incredible young women who serve our house and make church kids happen each Sunday. It was back this summer, Kristen and I, our family, we were out on vacation, and we were so relaxed, we were so at ease, we were just completely unplugged, and you know, you get so relaxed that you forget what day it is, and that's literally where we were. And we were driving from one place to another place, and there was a notification that came up on my phone, a text from one of the worship team, and Kristen saw their name, and she said, what are they texting you about? I said, we're just communicating about tomorrow. And as soon as I said tomorrow, it was as though she had been shot with a gun. She was like, oh, tomorrow is Sunday. Wait. And she realized that she hadn't communicated with the church kids staff, and there were just things that were not lined up, and things were not the way we normally make sure that they are on a Sunday. And so what are we going to do? We're on vacation, you know, I'm in such a relaxed place. I refuse to be pulled into stress. I don't know how you're going to resolve this, but good luck. I'm such a good husband. So ultimately, it was so late in the night. It was so late that there was not a whole lot that we could do about the situation. And so the directive was just let the kids stay in today. And that would never be our first choice. That would never be what we would want to do. But it just didn't seem like we were going to have an immediate fix to the situation. I'm going somewhere. I want you to see something lived out and that is powerful. And so here comes Sunday morning. My family is not here. We're not here trying to solve this. We're out of town. But the other team church members, they know what's going on. And one of our dream teamers, I'll call her name, Miss Mighty, is in the room today, sang right over here a solo and did fantastic. But Mighty sees the commotion over here. What's going on? And someone says, we're not going to be able to do church kids today because this and that. And she says, let me see what I can figure out. How old are you, Mighty? Where are you, baby? She's 17 years old. Let me see what I can figure out. The adult standing there didn't think anything about it. But all of a sudden, Mighty goes and does some work in the house and finds a teacher to teach the church kids. She keeps searching and finds some other dream teamers and says, I know we weren't on the schedule today, but you think we can make this happen? And they all said, yeah, come on, let's do it. And guess what? Church kids happened. It was a blessing. Everything was great. And you didn't even know that happened. You know why? Because we got young people that are buying in. The whole family is worshiping God together. That's what God is doing in the house. I mean, I you know, did you see our students up on this stage today helping to lead worship? Our fearless vocal leader, Miss Andretta, she's amazing. When this service started today, she was on the back row back here, tapping foot. Do I look like her yet? She back on the back row, letting our students lead up here. Why? Because they matter to us. The next generation matters to us. It's not about what's next. It's about what is now. It's how can we get your whole family involved in what God is doing at the church. That's the dream I have. Not waiting for your 17-year-old to get pregnant out of wedlock. Not waiting for your 17-year-old to get someone pregnant out of. I'm talking about serving the Lord with their whole life. I'm talking about giving themselves to God completely and fully. I have a dream. The dream includes your family. We have junior high young men and young women serving as buddies to our church champs. Our church champs are our special needs kiddos. Great, great young ones. We've got 19-year-old special needs and 18-year-old special needs and our junior high young men and young women and others, adults as well, that serve them as buddies, and they love it. They handle them with such care. They handle them with such grace. They lead them through a service and help them receive everything that God has for them on that day. My dream is not you forcing your family to attend church, but everyone following their desire to worship Jesus. Everyone in your house. My dream is that your whole family, maybe you've got family that are not here. Maybe as I preach this, you wish you had a junior high. You wish your high schooler, you wish your young adult would want this. Father, I pray right now for our kids. I pray right now for our babies. I pray right now for our young adults that are not serving you as much as you have called and purposed their life. I pray for high schoolers that are struggling. I pray for junior high right now, for our little ones, Lord. I pray that you would arrest their attention. I pray that you would arrest their heart. I pray in the name of Jesus that nothing would taste as good as your presence does. I pray that nothing would feel as good as your presence does, that you would call them into this house. We open up the doors. They can come from any mistake. They can come from any problem. They can come from any addiction. We will help them survive and win and overcome in the name of Jesus. Does anybody say amen? Does anyone say so be it? Does anyone say that's my dream too? I have a dream. I have a dream that includes your family. Let me tell you what else I dream. I dream that you will be faithful. I dream that you will be faithful. Because being found by God always leads to more. I mean, your salvation may be radical. Listen, let me tell you where I was when God saved me. That's amazing. But guess what? He did not save you just to sit down somewhere. saved you to serve, saved you to make a difference in other people's lives. I pray that you will be faithful to the purpose that God has put inside of you. Discovering your purpose is massive for your life. Because I was saved to serve, I'm blessed to be a blessing. We've got Team Church Rally tonight. You can get on the team. You can join. They would welcome you to say, come on, I want to find out what this is all about and be a part of what's happening, because I realize that I need to be found faithful to what God has asked me to do. And this rally, well, it's a chance to celebrate people who had devoted themselves to a cause, to this cause. But hear me, many, 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 many of our church problems, I hesitate to even use the word problems, many of our challenges would be solved by you finding your purpose. By you saying, you know what, let me get involved, let me devote myself, let me give myself, let me do what God has asked me to do. Because the truth is, my serve isn't work. It's not time spent or wasted. It is my opportunity to live my purpose, the purpose that God has given me. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know what that tells me? That tells me that regardless of where you were yesterday, regardless of where your life was last week, regardless of where you may be right now, God has already put something in you. He's already prepared you to live your purpose in His kingdom. You just don't even realize it yet. You just don't even know it yet. You don't realize that that skill you have is going to make a difference in your church. All of us have already been prepared. What about 1 Peter 4:10? God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. What if we would use our gifts? And there's a variety of gifts. Not everyone is going to do the same thing. Not everyone is going to serve in the same way. But we can do what God has called and has asked us to do. That's my dream for you. Everyone say, I receive the dream. I've got a dream for this church as well. My dream for you is that you would be found, that it would include your family, and that you will be faithful. But my dream for our church, first of all, is that we are on fire. I got a dream. I got a dream that we are on fire. I want to be full of God's Spirit, the power of God working and moving in this house. I want to tell you, that's much more than goosebumps on my arms. It's much more than hair standing up on the back of my neck. It's so much deeper than that. It's why we did a series called Deep. We absolutely have a shallow end in this church. And if you're new to all of this, you may be saying, this is not what my tradition is. This is not what I was raised hearing. This is not the kind of preaching, you know, whatever. You have all kind of things that will argue. Your tradition will argue. We got to just splash around in the shallow end and just get yourself comfortable in the presence of God and let Him start leading you further and further into the things of His Spirit. But hear me, you can learn to swim here. You can learn to deep dive here, because there's a lifeguard that's always on duty. And he's a great teacher. He'll show you how to swim and how to handle deeper waters in your life. But hear me. This has to be more than a club and more than a gathering. This has to be more than just a group of people that meet once a week. It has to be more than a social construct that gets together to chat. My dream is that our miracles are not memories. That the stories of old are not just lore that we tell our kids of the way church used to be. No. I want it to happen now. I want it to happen here. In the last days, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Do you think it was God's intention for the church to become less powerful in the last days? Do you think it was God's purpose or design for the church to have fewer miracles in the last days? No, he said, as you see the day approaching, you need to be there that much more. And I surely don't want it to be less powerful than it's ever been. That's why you and I have to work at it. That's why you and I have to pray through it. That's why you and I have to drive a stake in the ground and declare it to be so, that this church will be on fire. I'm not trying to make everybody run. I'm not trying to make everybody shout. I'm not trying to make everyone pray loudly. You can be who you are in this church. But hear me. I want your mind to be open to what God is speaking and saying and calling you to, so that we can have an outpouring of His Spirit. Power cannot be a thing of the past. Why? Because we're on fire. And that's how fires are built, and that's how fires are maintained, is because people are adding wood and people are stoking the flames and people are breathing on it with their praise, and the fire just keeps building and building and building and building. How many want a church on fire? I get it. I feel like I have to slow down and qualify that, because so many of you are still trying to get to know me. We're just here a year and a half, and some of you are waiting. You're waiting for the switch. You're waiting for, you know, well, he came in talking one thing, but we're about to switch to something else. No, what you see is what you get. What you've heard the last year and a half, that's who we are. There's no bait and switch. But hear me, you didn't bring a dead, boring, lifeless, unspirit-filled pastor to come and lead you. You brought somebody that was on fire, who believes that God can open the blind eyes, who believes God can deliver the drug addict. You brought somebody here that believes God is able to do anything. I didn't come just to talk about it. I came to say, hey, let's roll up our sleeves and see it happen. I want to be on fire for the things of God. Next, I have a dream that we are full. I have a dream that we're on fire, and something about fire attracts people. Something about miracles brings masses. And so my dream is that we are full. Every seat filled. This room to capacity. Why? Because every seat with a body in that seat represents a life that has been or is being changed. I promise you, I don't want to be full for my ego. It's not about what I can tell my friends. It's not about, listen, there are churches that are so massive. I watched a little clip last night, Dr. Ed Young. I don't know, maybe you've seen Second Baptist in Houston. He's one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard, a great man. I've had the privilege of meeting him, but I watched just a little clip last night that somebody put out of him talking to a football player. And here is this man, Dr. Young, he's 85 or 86 years old and has 83,000 people in their church. That's a lot of people. 83,000 people attending church there today. It's not about numbers. I can never call our church big when you consider there are churches that are that big. It's not about the number of people. It's about the difference that is being made. But hear me. If you get committed to making a difference in people's lives, the numbers naturally have to follow. I need to make this plain. I know we got young people, but if you and your wife get serious about loving one another, your house is going to grow, expand. It's just a byproduct. It's just what happens. I think I heard a young person, amen, that wanted me to go a little further in that. Don't mess with me. I'll do a series just for you. Embarrass the fire out of you. Or the fire into you. I don't know. Scare the hell out of you. I want to do something. Woo! Set me down. I want to be full. I want to see lives changed. I want to see a difference made in people's lives. Hear me. We got a big campus that needs a big vision. I refuse to waste 32 acres or 64 across the street. I realize that was deeded to us, and there's all kind of restrictions as far as what we can do, and I don't even know all about that. But let's just talk about right here, the footprint, the 32. I refuse to waste that. I refuse for our ministry to be mowing. I refuse for all that we do with this campus is just to stand out and survey the wondrous works of God. Look at all that God has given us out there to the road. Look at all that God has done back there. No, it's not about amassing land. It's about making a difference. It's about doing ministry. It's about building and saying, what can we do? What can we do that will help our community? What can we do? We are not in the land business. We are in the business of souls. We're in the business of growing and expanding the kingdom of God. I'm grateful for all that God has given this church. Hear me. I don't take that for granted. I'm thankful for it. But God called us to do more than mow grass or maintain flower beds. We got to do both of those. It's important. But the vision is bigger. I want to use this campus to help people. People of every color, people of every language, everybody. Brother Jorge, come here just a minute. Come here, Romano. Come here. I don't. It's not much. Just preach in Spanish for just a moment.
Preach in Spanish while you want the same follow. Yes. Dream. Josué había tenido un dream con sus hermanos, que sus rollos de trigo se doblegaban hacia él, pero él siguió su sueño sirviéndole al Señor y el ejemplo que su papá le dio, y después Dios lo llevó a un lugar muy grande, que fue ser el segundo de Egipto. We talking about Joshua. When he got dream, he followed Amen. The dream. He went to second in Egypt.
Follow the dream, Joshua. Follow the dream. I heard Muy Grande. I can't do what he does. I need him to do what he does. I want to expand and open and say, how can we make a difference? How can we bless people? How can we be full? How can we build this to such a degree that we're ministering in multiple languages and we have multiple services happening in this house? I'm wondering, do you hear what I'm preaching today? Do you hear what I'm saying today? Can God do something big in this house? I got a dream. I got a dream that we are on fire, a dream that we're full. Buckle your seatbelt, tell somebody beside you, get ready. I got one more dream. I've got a dream that we are financial. Got a dream that we're financial. I'm not killing the move of God right now because this is spiritual. Because our financial dealings as individuals and as a church matter greatly to this dream becoming a reality. It all matters. It all works together. You get one thing working, it affects the other thing. Makes a difference. Hear me, in your life, with your personal dream, if you are strapped by debt, it locks you down and keeps you from being able to maneuver in the will of God. Anybody ever felt that feeling of being strapped down? You can't do anything. All you can do is work all the time because you're trying to solve this and satisfy that and pay over here and take care of this issue, and it just feels like you are completely locked down. That's what it does to us as individuals. But hear me, it does the same thing to us if that's where we are as a church. We have to get serious about this. We have to get serious about this. It's time. Time to deal with it. There was a significant challenge when I arrived here, but it didn't scare me. I knew it. I knew before coming. I made the decision to come knowing that there was a significant financial challenge. But that didn't scare me from coming. I knew that God would give us a plan, and God would provide, and God would make a way, and God would send people, and people would rise up, and people would take ownership of their church. But hear me, I am tasked to work through this. And barring a miracle, it's not going to be an overnight process. But hear me today, you and I, we are the process. God is going to use you and I to see the change and to see the healing and to see the miracle in our lives. You and I buying into the vision, you and I being faithful is God's plan. You and I, you have to allow me to teach on this, and I'm going to. I'm going to prepare you right now. Come November, I'm going to do a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, and I want to talk to our church family. That gives you plenty of time to schedule vacations and decide you're going to be sick or whatever you need to do to get out of hearing it. But I'm going to teach on it because it's time. It's time to talk so that there's clear biblical understanding of what it means to be a financial person, to be in covenant with God in financial things, because I want to know what my responsibility is. But hear me, I am praying for a plan. I'm praying for God to show us the path to get us. We honestly, I don't know how we could get any more lean. We are saying no to ministry opportunities. We are saying we cannot do this and we can't do that because we are running so lean in our budget, trying to make sure that mortgage is paid, make sure that everything is covered and everything is resolved. And it is tight and it is tough, but our staff keeps buckling there, another notch on their belt to say, whatever we have to do, let's do it, because we dream of being a debt-free church. P- paying off this building, $1.7 million is what we owe. It's a massive amount of money, and yet to God, it's nothing. It's huge to us because we're looking for $17 to go to lunch. We can't compute $1.7 million, but hear me. When people make up in their mind, when people come together to say, you know what? I'm not just going to look around the room and wonder who's going to do it. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be faithful to God. I feel anointed right now to help our church, to talk to our church, to say, you know what? Now is the time to see God do something big, because there is nothing that breaks my heart more than saying no to ministry because we are strapped by debt. I don't like it. Just like I don't like telling my kids, no, we can't go somewhere because we don't have the money. It breaks my heart as a father. It breaks my heart as a pastor to say no to ministry because we are strapped by debt. What kind of ministry could we do if we were a debt-free church? We're doing it now. We gave thousands of dollars last month to missions and trying to help people and trying to bless people. We're still doing what we can, but the dream is doing something powerful, that we are a financial church, that we are given to ministry and making a difference. So here's what you can pray. Lord, what is my part? What is my part? And if you share these dreams today, if you share what I'm preaching today, if you share what I'm saying today, then pray that prayer. Lord, what is my part? But whatever you do, can I just say it today? Can I just tell you? Whatever you do, don't be a zero when it comes to your finances. Do something. Give something. Be a part. Put seed in the ground. Because we have too few people carrying the load. And we need all hands on deck. Because financial restrictions, they kill dreams. And this dream cannot die. Can't die. This is God established and God appointed and God called. We got to make the dream become a reality. Big dreams require big faith. And all of it, a great big God. If you're here today and you want to be baptized, I would love to baptize people today. If you're ready to take your next step, don't be bashful. Nobody's looking around. You can just get up and start making your way. Our team would love to receive you right now. You can get changed, dressed, baptize you today. We need a big God, and here's the deal, Paul. This God is not unknown to us. We know him. Let me ask you, are we dreaming big enough today? I've asked you throughout this series, are we dreaming God enough? If our dream is something that we can easily accomplish, that we can easily do on our own, then we're not dreaming big enough. But if our dream is something that we know requires God, if we don't have you in this, Lord, if you don't speak to us, Lord, if you don't provide, Lord, if you don't make a way, then we are flat on our face. That kind of dream. That kind of faith, that kind of God. But hear me today, all aspects of the church, this church, come down to the individual. It all hinges on you and your acceptance of the call to dream. Whether or not we're going to dream and believe God. I wonder today, are you ready to answer the call to dream again? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this room. Where are you today? Where are you in this process? Am I faithful? My family, am I found? As a church, are we on fire? Are we full? Are we financial? Where are you, the individual, in this teaching today? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed because this is an individual moment. It's not a look right or left or check how others are responding or what others are doing. It's me, Lord. What are you saying to me? What is my response to your word today? What do I choose today? I buy in. Maybe you're here today and you aren't certain about your salvation. I want to help you today. I want you to leave this building knowing that God has purposed your life. That God has put a mandate on your life. Pray with me today. Say, Jesus, I give my heart to you. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not keeping anything to myself. I am all yours. I pray you would take my sin and give me your healing. Take my pain and replace it with your power. Deliver me today. Fix me today. Save me today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, can we give God praise for people making